This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With licensed psychologist and guest John Delatorre.
It is not uncommon for a defense attorney to make a motion to dismiss an indictment for their client. It happens all of the time, whether or not those requests for that dismissal have any merit. That's up for a judge to decide. But Shanna Gardner, her attorney, saying, yeah, I think that this should be dismissed. They're looking back on what a taint team did earlier on in the investigation. A taint team, for everyone playing along at home, is a team of prosecutors or agents who are screened from the investigation team to pass along information from a large piece of evidence or lots of pieces of evidence that are not privileged or protected. So it's someone, a third party that's not part of the case that can say, okay, this can be part of evidence. This is part of attorney-client privilege. The argument in this is that they didn't have a qualified person doing that. And in doing so, some of the information that they were going through was attorney-client privilege and should have never ended up in the hands of the prosecutors. Joining me to discuss, Dr. John Delatorre. What's your take on this? I don't have a whole lot of experience with the taint teams or their accuracy, especially in a case like this where murder is involved. And the question is, who knew what when?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't really have that much experience with this because you often see this in white collar crimes, and they're typically called a special master. Right. So if you want to go back and you want to dive deep into some Trump related crimes, you'll hear a lot about a special master. Mm-hmm. The problem that I think this argument has is that the taint team or the privilege team, we'll stop calling it a taint team, but the privilege team really looks at the evidence obtained from a law firm. Mm-hmm. Right. All of that material is supposed to be either considered work product or attorney-client privilege. For our audience, the client has the privilege, not the attorney. Mm-hmm. So the attorney can never waive that privilege, which is why you need a privilege team to come in to take a look at what is considered work product that needs to be put in one pile, what is actual privilege communications that needs to be put in another file, and what is actual evidence that the attorney has engaged in illegal or unethical practices that needs to move forward as part of the prosecution. And so the problem here is that if the taint team got all of the information from Gardner's phone and she gave them permission to look through her phone, then she's waived privilege. And so this isn't information that the team got from the defense attorney, right? If it is, that's a different story. But if it's information that they obtained from her handing over her cell phone and saying, hey, yeah, you can take a look at all of this stuff, and her expecting that privilege is going to travel with it. No, it isn't. You just gave them permission to look at your phone. So if she wanted to hide stuff, don't send texts and don't send emails. You communicate with your attorney by phone or in person. That's how you hide stuff.
Mm-hmm. So essentially what they're arguing here is that, look, there was things on there that, yeah, you can certainly look at, use as evidence, but the things that were between me and my attorney were not. And you guys all got access to that, and it shouldn't have gone to the places that it did.
Well, then don't give up your phone. You force them to get a court order to seize your phone. I mean, we have a constitutional amendment against search and seizure. So I think that, again, if the material was obtained by the team through the law firm, that's one argument. Mm-hmm. If the defense attorney is trying to make the statement that because they got it from her phone, which she gave them, that automatically means that the privilege travels, mm-hmm. when even though she gave it to them freely and willingly,
yeah,
she knew what was on her phone. She knew what was there. So she could have said no, but she didn't. So I don't know that this is an argument that a judge is really going to accept when it comes to there's, you know, privileged material on her phone. Therefore, you can't use whatever. Everybody has that.
Sure.
So that wouldn't work.
If you have nothing to hide, I can see where it'd be very easy. Here's my phone. Take a look. Go through whatever you want. Is this almost speaking to the stupidity? Because I think that's been the assumption on a lot of this, with a lot of the moves that have taken place thus far. The stupidity of Shanna Gardner, thinking that there's nothing here when apparently there is something there on this phone, and thinking that this will only help her. I mean, she could refuse to, or could have refused to give up that phone, but I guess at the other end of that spectrum is, yeah, they could just get a warrant as well.
Right. But again, if they got a warrant, then a judge would have signed off on the limitation. When you submit an application for a warrant, you have to put in only the relevant information that is part of your investigation. You just can't get whatever you want just because you have a warrant. Mm-hmm. You have to outline specifically what you're trying to get. And if it's an electronic device, you have to narrow that search, because a judge isn't just going to sign off on a blanket warrant for a cell phone that you could just grab that and use whatever, because that would be an undue invasion into your privacy. So is she stupid? I don't know that she's stupid. I mean, there's certainly an argument to be made that she's narcissistic. Yeah. She believed that, you know, it didn't matter whether there was inflammatory stuff on her phone, that she was going to be able to get away with it.
That's interesting. It's almost like she didn't understand the difference between a warrant to get her phone and look at very specific things, or just handing it over. Maybe thinking it's going to look better if I just hand it over. It looks like I'm cooperating, but not realizing that you're actually more protective if a warrant was issued to get the phone versus you just giving it to them.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to, even if you're an innocent person, you don't talk to police until your lawyer is there. You don't answer any questions. You make the prosecutor have to prove every single element of their case. You don't give them anything. If they want something that belongs to you, then they're going to have to submit to the court why they need that thing. Every good defense attorney wants their client to not speak. Don't say anything. Don't give away any, even if you're innocent. Don't do it. Because you are more protected by the Constitution than you are by your own seemingly intelligence.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.